Welcome back to the Innovation Room. I am Daniel Guajardo here with my co-host Derek Tobolsky.
Hey.
And Rhiannon Huff.
Hello, everybody. We are excited for our second State of the Industry series. And today we are going to have a wonderful guest and talk about the restaurant industry. So let's dive right in.
Yeah, I'm excited about our guest today. We're going to pick his brain on the challenges and changes due to COVID, dine-in versus carry-out, find out about drinks to go, and learn what the future might bring in the restaurant industry.
This week, we will be going over the restaurant industry that was, as we all know, heavily impacted due to COVID-19, from supply chain challenges all the way to customer delivery systems. We're really excited to introduce our guest this week, facilities manager for Team Showstack Family Restaurants, a restaurant group based in Michigan with brands like Wendy's, Mod Pizza, Applebee's, Del Taco, and Olga's Kitchen. Certified restaurant facilities professional through the Restaurant Facility Management Association recently announced that he will be joining the board of directors as the board alternative and Restaurant Facility Management Association 2019 Restaurateur of the Year. Quite a list of accomplishments. Mr. Greg Fuchs, how are you?
I am doing great. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. Thanks for taking the time.
Greg, do you want to, you know, start us off here, you know, just giving us a little bit more background on yourself and maybe what got you into the facilities industry and then into the restaurant industry and, you know, just a little bit of background?
Previous to 2014, I was on the Hardee's and then Burger King and then Del Taco side of the business in operations, and also oversaw some of the facilities techs that we had working for us. And we had an opening on the Applebee's side of our business for a facilities manager. Because I had had that experience, that's where I slid into. And I was way in over my head at first. There's no doubt about it. And the Restaurant Facility Management Association actually allowed me to gain the skills and experience necessary and knowledge to start doing my job effectively. And there's always a lot of great things going on as far as shared ideas, sort of like this. So that you keep learning from one another, which is absolutely necessary. And yeah, so it's been a great ride.
Wonderful. Definitely always keeping you on your toes. Never the same day is what I say in the facilities industry. You never know what you're going to run into next. That's for sure. Well, and speaking of that, we had, of course, a big, crazy year this year with another big surprise, which was COVID. And I can't believe that we are going into what, 8-9 months of this now. And we are closing out the year 2020. So why don't you just get us going here with just kind of a little bit of history in the last 8 months. When COVID first hit and you had to react, what did the restaurant industry initially do and how did they deal with the lockdowns?
Well, for the quick service side of our restaurants, their sales took off and have stayed strong ever since. The brands like Applebee's, we had to hit the ground running as far as looking ahead. And to the leadership's credit, we started looking at that in late March, early April. We actually had a 3-day meeting in one of the restaurants that was closed at the time, laying out what type of things we were going to be doing in the restaurants, whether it be one door in, one door out, which tables were we going to block off? Were we going to go to single use restrooms? So there's so many different aspects to this entire situation that you just had to look at. And it was good that you get a lot of different people on board, a lot of different insights when you're together. And then you also learn from other people in the industry and you see what's out there online.
Absolutely. You know, that phrase came out a lot in the very beginning of all of this is that we're all in this together. And I think that that's what a lot of us were doing is just leaning on everybody to see kind of what you're doing, what are the best practices, what's actually working, you know, talk about adaptation. for sure. Everybody kind of had to adjust quickly and then readjust. So it was a lot to have to deal with. Did you have any supply chain issues that affected the restaurant in the beginning that you noticed?
There were some. Okay. They were both on the food side in some aspects, but also on the cleaning supply side. Everybody was behind the eight ball at that point in time. And so you just had to try to find a lot of alternative suppliers. As far as the menu goes, they're planning out these menus and these promotions months and sometimes years in advance. And so there's no way to change on a dime, okay, and head a different way. And so there were times where if we had too much of a product on hand because we didn't have guests coming into the restaurant, that you may have to run a special, okay? For $2.99, you can get this soup, okay? And hopefully next time they come through car side, they're going to be purchasing that so that you reduce your waste, okay, by making sure that that goes out before it expires. And the other part of that was the promotions and being able to generate those sales. You had to find out what was actually going to be coming in on the trucks, make sure you had enough, and then be able to cater that towards a guest. Sometimes your menu and promotions that you anticipated running were completely different on the online platform because you needed to make sure that they were steered towards products that you actually had in stock.
Wow. That's a lot of insight there because, it's something that those of us that aren't necessarily in the restaurant industry all day, every day, don't even think about that pre-planning that you already had that you didn't get to execute. So that's really interesting. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Welcome.
Oh, that's great. I know that the pickup and delivery options have been huge for my family. We've got four kids and they are all over the board in age. So going out to eat just hasn't been just unappealing lately, given the COVID situation, but it's also been near impossible most days with our little army that we have. But we've been operating under COVID guidelines for quite some time now, as I'm sure you have been as well. This seemed to be slowing down a little bit, but now it's higher than ever, and COVID's back stronger than it's ever been. So I'm sure restaurants are starting to look at some more long-term solutions for the changes that the pandemic's brought about. So I want to talk about what restaurants are doing right now to cope. What exactly are restaurants doing now that things are opening back up, but not at full capacity in regards to seating for dining?
Well, for us, it's been a case of looking at, we looked at patio options in the summertime, but that now that the colder weather is hit Michigan, we've taken those down. They're back in storage. I'm sure we're going to be using them in the spring, but for the interior, it's about getting the number of actual tables, not necessarily the number of seats, but the number of tables available is what's really key, because we're back to only being able to seat a maximum of six in any group. And so we've taken some of the six and eight top tables out and added more two and four top so that we can still keep that social distancing, but still have enough tables to be able to seat the guests. So it minimizes the amount of wait time.
And then I know that sanitation has probably been a big part of the restaurant industry already with all the people that are in and out, but with COVID, I'm sure it's increased even more. What type of things have changed in that respect?
Well, pre-COVID, we always had the tables that were sanitized with a bucket of sanitizer solution and a cloth. We tried to keep that out of the customer's viewpoint. And now we've got enhanced sanitizing procedures in place. We've got sanitation stations around the dining rooms. And we even have a sanitation specialist who, as soon as the guests leave their table, they clean the table, the chair, and they periodically throughout the regular intervals, they clean any high touch surfaces throughout the day. It's important that the guests know that we're doing everything possible to keep them and our team members safe and healthy.
Yeah, that's great. How has it been more difficult keeping sanitation supplies actually on hand or finding where to source them? Or has it been pretty easy. I know at the grocery stores has been terrible for our family trying to find and keep up on that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, it has posed problems at times, but because we've got, as national chains, they have supply chain companies that actually go to look for the supplies for us. And so if one is starting to run low or they aren't able to get the products, then they go to other sources. And so for the most part, they've done a great job at being able to keep us stocked and ready to be able to make sure, again, that everything is sanitized and clean.
So. Yeah, good. Good. That's good. As I said, you know, my family's, I may not have said it, but my family, being as large as it is heavily reliant on carry out and delivery options. So I'm super curious, what do the menus look like right now? And I heard some rumors of drinks to go. Is that true?
Oh, you know what? You heard right. Oh. So at this point in time, like the Applebee's menu, it is only about 65% of the size that it was pre-COVID. And that's because some of it is supply chain, some of it is promotion, and some of it is just to keep the waste down. By having a limited menu, we're better to able keep the products coming out at a consistently high level for the guests. Okay. It's always hot and fresh. Okay. And that is one of the keys to all this, because that's why the guests are coming to us. They want hot and fresh food. And so by doing that, simplifies the entire operation. And then as far as the incremental sales from cocktails to go, we have the Musho cocktails at the Applebee's side of the business. It's actually generated a lot of incremental sales. There are 63 restaurants that we have. The Musho cocktails have generated three restaurants worth of revenue each week. So instead of only having 63 restaurants worth of revenue, it's more like having 66, and that's directly attributed to the Musho cocktails. So
that's amazing. I need to get myself one of those. As a dad of four, like that is screaming my name.
Yeah. And you know what? The nice thing about it is that you can also get them in, like you could get four and it comes in a little pouch for you that you can just pour right there.
They'll let you carry out four of those?
Whew. Yes. Oh, yes, they man, will.
That'd be getting me in trouble. So as your guys' as this kind of COVID transition has happened, I'm sure you guys have seen a huge rise in carry out and dine in. What I'm curious as to what that's looked like number wise for you guys. You know, was dine in a certain percentage and then carry out was a certain percentage, and now it's flip-flopped, or has it stayed pretty similar?
No, it's definitely a lot higher for the carry out and the car side to go. There are some of our Applebee's restaurants that are actually doing 40% of their volume through car side to go or delivery companies. And, you know, that is its own unique aspect to it. Yeah. And so it's been a case of adding more car spots, okay, for car side to go. So we've doubled that in most of the restaurants to at least six. And then you also have to have more space and more room to store the dry goods. And so, yeah, there's a lot of different aspects that people wouldn't necessarily think about that go on behind the scenes.
I bet. And do you think we'll continue to see a high trend of customers preferring the dine out options, even maybe once we get past COVID here a little bit more?
Oh, I do. I think that this entire pandemic has changed people's mindset long-term. I personally could not see myself going to a sporting event and being seated around 70,000 other people, even if there is a COVID vaccine. It's going to take a while for me to feel comfortable doing that. And I think our guests are going to be the same way. And so we just have to be prepared for that in the future.
Well, that's all great information. And at least for now, it seems like the new normal is not really knowing what might come next. But what can we do our best to make some predictions about the future and what it might hold for the restaurant industry, and how can we best prepare? So moving into 2021, what facility trends do you expect to see?
I expect that there's still going to be a lot of changes and things just driven by science and what we don't know about COVID right now. It could be different materials that we use for walls, okay, so that they're more easily cleanable, okay? Or if you're looking at how do we make sure that we're going to be able to deliver this food hot and fresh, okay, and keep it that way, because we're going to be having a lot more pickups, okay, and a lot more car side. There are so many different aspects that we're still learning, okay, and we have to be ready to adapt if we're going to be able to be successful and be successful and around long term.
Yeah, of course. I feel, you know, at least from my standpoint, technology is going to be a very large part of doing all this. Do you guys think you're going to be implementing any new technology or anything maybe putting a little more focus on?
Yes, we've already made it more prevalent to have the QR code going directly to the menus. That's a given for everyone right now. If they don't have to touch something, they would rather not, which I can completely understand. Also, with the cold weather coming in Michigan, we've got a new process where when the guests check in, they give us their phone number. They can go back out in their car if their table isn't ready yet. And then we just text them to let them know when they can come into the restaurant and then be seated. That way our guests are socially distanced, but they're still comfortable. And they definitely don't have to wait outside in the cold.
Living in Michigan my whole life myself, we appreciate that very much. Thank you. So I guess the one last thing is, you know, if there's one best thing a restaurant can be doing right now to prepare for next year, any piece of advice you'd like to give any of the other restaurateurs?
Yes. Embrace change, because it's going to come. There's more. There's so much more that we don't know. Okay. But it's also an exciting time because we're learning things that we didn't know we were going to have to know before March, okay, of 2020. And that's where the people that are able to execute and do it well, okay, they're going to be successful because their guests are going to come back to them. And the alternative is not a good one, okay, if we don't do that. Can't sit on your hands and just hope that it's going to get better. You have to do everything you can to make sure that we're the leaders, okay, and that we're taking every step possible to make sure the guests are comfortable, okay, and that we're doing everything that we can to keep everyone safe.
Well put.
Yeah, great answer. I think embrace change goes well beyond just even the restaurant industry. You know, it's all of the entire world right now needs to do it. So that was an awesome answer. Well, Greg, unfortunately, it's about that time that I need to go get myself a 4-pack of Mucho cocktails. So before I do, I want to sincerely thank you for your time. This topic about how the restaurant industry has had to adapt is very intriguing, and getting a little inside scoop has been awesome. So thank you, and I hope business just continues to strive for you during this time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
That wraps up episode 8.
Well, that was fun, wasn't it? Let us know what you think, and obviously comment, give us some ideas on anything you would like to hear, of course, and we will let you know what industry we will be talking about next.
Yeah, if you like us, don't like us, enjoy our content, want to see something else, or just want to drop a fire flame emoji down in the comments, please remember to like and subscribe below.